Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, the IBI, and funded by Comisión na Meán with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
This is Track O'Brien on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, and this is the second part of our feature on biodiversity as part of the second season of Ours to Protect. Last week, we looked at what biodiversity is and what to expect from Biodiversity Week. This week, we're starting off with...
How does biodiversity get damaged?
To help answer this question, I met up with sustainability and biodiversity expert Anna Brown from Big Sky Flowers.
Pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, destroying habitats, making lots of parking spaces, building houses, but that has to happen. Mm. But then if we do build houses, we should probably be careful that the houses that we're in have gardens that are full of biodiversity to make up for what's been lost with the building of the houses and the roads.
And we often, when their houses are being built and housing estates are being built, and it's an important part of it, that there's a green area for kids to play in and that, but there's also an element of having a green area grow wild as well.
Yeah.
Should be part of that as well.
So farmers used to have something called the Hare's Corner, which was an area that they left on their farm that they left wild.
Oh, yeah.
Housing sites should have the same thing, a little bit of a Hare's Corner. But people have been taught to think that tidiness is morally good and untidiness is morally bad. And that's one of the biggest problems we have to combat, is that social construct that tidiness is really important. It means you're a good neighbour and a good person.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're untidy, that you're a bad person. But like Mother Nature prefers the untidy stuff.
Now it's time to return to the eco-superheroes of St. Columbkill's National School in Gainstown.
Leah,
Eve,
Essie,
Zoe,
Carla,
Alexandra,
Lucianne,
Roisin,
Leah,
Josh,
Donica,
Cian,
George,
James,
Cian,
Rory,
Mel,
Daniel,
Patrick,
Afra,
Roisin,
Emily.
And I asked them what damages the biodiversity.
If the climate changes and it gets warmer or colder.
It's because all the trees are getting cut down.
If all the icebergs are melting, it will, like, the animals that live on the ice will be in the water.
If you cut down trees and if you put litter in the ocean, it will choke them. And if you run over a badger on the road.
By cutting down trees and ruining animals' habitats, and also by rubbishing, because lots of animals just try and eat the rubbish.
Probably stop hunting foxes because they keep the rabbit population down.
Stop ruining natural habitats for animals.
Lots of animals' habitats are getting destroyed by humans and
cutting down forests.
Sea pollution.
Why are bees so important? People were talking about bees there. What is the big deal with the bees?
Because without bees, all of our trees will die, and flowers, if they're not spreading their pollen.
Some bees can produce honey.
So then you won't have honey to put in your porridge?
And honey is yummy.
Yes.
Bees are very important because they help pollinate trees, and if bees like just vanished, we would only have 4 years to live.
Bees are one of our most important animals because they make sure that wildlife and wildflowers keep to grow.
We need bees because without them they wouldn't be able to pollinate our wheat, which is our main source of food, and the wheat needs it to grow properly.
You need bees because if bees get extinct, there will be the flowers will die and trees will die, and bees produce honey, and honey is in loads of food.
It does strike you when you're talking to children about environmental issues. They just seem to get it. They seem to understand the situation and know what needs to be done. Another example of this is a young lady called Flossie Donnelly, who started up Flossie and the Beach Cleaner serving the Dublin Bay area. I spoke first to her mother and CEO of the charity about where it all began.
So it all started with Flossie, who is now 18, but when she was 7, we were on a holiday in Thailand before climate change was a big issue in travelling, and she travelled with me everywhere, and my love of marine life led to her loving marine life. But then when she was 7 and we were in Thailand, she whilst I was looking for whale sharks on a kayak, all she could see was pollution all around her, okay. And I didn't, which was really embarrassing.
Right.
She became conscious of it at that stage. She decided, and this is at the age of 7, and she decided we have to do something about this.
Yeah. So literally what happened was we got home. I noticed that whenever we were on the beach, and at the end of the road is the beach where we always go crabbing and looking for crabs and rock pools, she was actually looking for rubbish. I just noticed she was always picking up rubbish then, and plastic bottles, because there were a lot more on the beaches then.
Yeah.
And it led from there. And then she just started, at the age of 9, she said, could she start a beach cleaning club, which I was like, great idea. And then that became bigger and bigger. And when she was 10, people started talking about her, and then politicians were contacting her to do speeches, and she was speaking publicly at the age of 10 about plastic pollution and saving the seas and the oceans and marine life. Greta Thunberg inspired her massively, yeah, as well, for Fridays for Future. And she then was going to senior school, and we were asked quite a lot, were we a charity and could people donate to our beach cleans, which we weren't. And we thought maybe that would be a nice idea, and with Flossie's vision, entirely Flossie's vision, we started Flossie and the Beach Cleaners, and it's purely our beach cleaning. We clean every week publicly in Dublin Bay, and we have volunteers around the country who clean in different counties, and they clean every month. But we also, primarily our aim is to educate children and adults, but children, junior school children, to teach them that beach cleaning is, one, so much fun. It's also a treasure hunt. You never know what you're going to find.
Yeah.
And also that they know that they're saving the planet. They're saving marine life. And as we all know, the planet is covered by over 70% of water. So it's so important to save the seas and our oceans, because the sea, you know, levels are rising, the sea is warming, and doing a simple beach clean is actually just doing so much. Some people just sit there and they're quite frustrated. What can we do? And we see kids getting quite a lot of climate fatigue.
Yeah.
And they know just a simple beach clean actually makes them feel better as well. And sure, you can take stuff home that you find. That's great. We always say, you know, reuse, remake everything you can. So fishing nets, trawler pollution, all that awful stuff that comes in on the West Coast. We make swings and hammocks out of that because it's really useful bags. So, you know, there's lots of elements to just a simple beach clean.
And you started about, you were talking about maybe 9 years ago or so.
Yeah.
How have things changed? Is the pollution worse? You said plastic bottles might be a bit less than they were.
Plastic bottles are definitely less. And the bottle deposit return scheme is great. Everyone is doing
That's
it.
Working.
And it really is working. Okay. And we see less bottles on the beach. And if we get bottles, we literally give them to the kids for them to go and get their bit of cash back. But there is a difference. I think there's a huge difference in the last 9 years. I mean, there's always going to be people who do leave rubbish. But it's like, compared to when we started, I'd say 2% might do it now, whereas when we started, we felt like it was more like 20%. So I think there's a huge difference. The councils are great because they're putting loads more bins out, and they're great at, you know, emptying the bins, and people are great at putting their rubbish by the bins, and more people may be taking their rubbish home with them. So there is much more awareness around it. We've definitely seen it. But you're still always, you know, blown away by what can wash in.
And it's the microplastics are something that's not slowing down.
No. The microplastics are, I mean, the problem is, I mean, in a cigarette butt, there's 1,500 pieces of microplastic. There's microplastic in the rain, in our brain. We ingest a credit card a week of microplastics. So, you know, as a human being, unfortunately, that's something that we just have to deal with. And for us, as it goes, pick it up as it goes. I mean, if it's something red, yellow, blue, or orange flashing through the seaweed, it's microplastic.
And if people want to find out a bit more about Flossie and the Beach Cleaners, if they want to get involved, or they just want to learn a bit more about what you're doing, how can they find out a bit more?
So we're on all social media, literally all social media. TikTok, more of a joke side of it. But and then we have our website, flossieandthebeachcleaners.com.
I then chatted with Flossie and asked her what inspired her into action.
Well, when I was 7 years old, I just started to notice all this rubbish on the beach after a trip into Ireland, and I just couldn't go to the beach again without wanting to pick up rubbish, so I thought it'd be really fun to start a beach cleaning club. So went about that, and since then it's eventually started to turn into a charity because, well, we wanted to educate children. We couldn't do that unless we were a charity.
And what kind of things do you find when you're out beach cleaning?
It's not a beach clean if you don't find a pair of men's pants. That's
okay.
A fact.
That's it, right. That's an essential part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? What other kind of thing? I mean, obviously, microplastics are a massive problem.
Microplastic is a nightmare, but like, it really depends. Like, as the times change, that really shows on the beaches. During COVID, it was all PPE. After COVID, it became non-stop vapes everywhere.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it depends on the beach. Different beaches have different things. Like on Sea Point Beach, we have no idea why, but we have found 4 times now false teeth and people's braces.
You structure this on a weekly basis, different beaches around Dublin Bay, and people go onto the website and have a look.
Yeah, like in the beginning of the year, like at the start of the year, we make a massive schedule of all our weekly Saturday beach cleanups. So people can decide really early which ones they're going to go to. And then during the week, we have multiple beach cleans for different corporates and junior schools where we bring them down and show them the fun and the magic of beach cleaning.
And do you ever feel, when you're cleaning beaches and you're thinking, oh, this stuff again, do you ever feel, why am I doing it? Or do you ever get to that point where you just say, no, this is what I'm going to be doing. This is my playing my part.
Honestly, beach cleaning is one of the most zen things you can do. Like, when I beach clean, I just do feel so relaxed anyway. Like, it can be extremely disheartening finding all this rubbish, but it's the one thing that really helps me, like, cope with all forms of climate anxiety, because you're actively doing something, and knowing I'm helping the sea just really just makes you feel really great.
And that is the key. A lot of people think, sure, what can I do? What difference can I make? But this is something very easy for people to get involved with, and they can go along to see Flossie and the Beach Cleaners on the website and get involved that way.
Absolutely. Like, the way I look at it, if you can just find what you're really passionate about and link it to the environment, that's how we're going to stop climate change. I love the sea, so I beach clean. If you love fashion, just try and shop in charity shops and do swap shops and fun things like that.
Flossie from Flossie and the Beach Cleaners, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
A wonderful story about selfless volunteers taken to different beaches each week along Dublin Bay. If you want to get involved, you'll find all information at flossieandthebeachcleaners.com. Now, we're going to finish up with the question, how can I help the biodiversity in my garden? And there are lots of ideas here, from the girls and boys in St. Columbkill's National School in Gainstown.
You could plant more wildflowers for the bees so they pollinate.
You can put up bird feeders for the birds.
You can put more trees up.
You can plant flowers and make bird houses so birds have places to sleep.
Leave a section of your lawn with long grass for the bees.
Don't cut grass in May and try to reduce cutting your grass during the summer seasons.
Set up bee hives and grow fruits that you can just let them eat.
If like a fox like comes to your house, you should give it food, because if you live in an area that doesn't have like squirrels and stuff that it can eat, then it'll like starve to death, and that's really not good.
You can add plants.
You can just not bother the animals that are in your garden, because they need to live as well.
You can maybe grow vegetables to be more sustainable.
When it's winter time and the hard is ground for birds not being able to get worms, you can leave out food for them.
Like put up bug houses in your garden.
Anything else you'd like to add to that, Anna Brown?
So if you can replace a lawn with any kind of flowering plant, that's a really positive thing. If you put in a native hedge, that's even better. But any kind of flowering plant is good for the pollinators. Leaving things a bit messy provides lots of habitat. So if you can leave a bit of mess, leave things standing, hollow stems standing over the winter, that's a really positive thing to do. And that provides homes for ladybirds, which you want to have come in the spring to help with your green fly problem. So doing these things actually helps you in your garden. It's like they're your invisible friends who are doing the work for you if you leave them in peace to live over the winter.
And not be spraying.
Don't be spraying.
But letting it be is
yes,
the key here.
A lot of it. I mean, yeah. Most areas, most natural, most outdoor areas, if we leave them alone, they will actually return to a very high biodiversity state.
Okay.
So a lot of biodiversity we've lost through humans deciding to make things neat and tidy and the way that they want. Mother Nature actually knows better, and so she will make a very high biodiversity area. So if we look at the example of the greenways and the canals near Mullingar, they haven't been neglected, but they have been let go a bit wild, and they're fantastic. You see birds there, you see all kinds of creatures there, all kinds of wildflowers. It's absolutely beautiful, and they're mowed back enough people can walk on the paths, but they're left alone otherwise, and Mother Nature is doing a wonderful job of making a beautiful biodiverse area along those paths.
Is biodiversity about nature, or is it about wildlife?
It's about all that, and also inside your stomach. We have microbiomes in our stomach that are actually biodiverse if they're good and healthy. And if they're not biodiverse, they're probably not so healthy. So we have to think about biodiversity both outside of us and also inside of us.
So there you go. It's estimated there are more than 31,000 different species in Ireland. And only 10% are of the familiar species such as plants and birds and animals. Nourishing this biodiversity can seem overwhelming, so it's probably best to start by looking at what you can do in your own garden or area. One of the things that we're all fairly familiar with is no-mow May. There was also, it was pointed out there by Anna Brown, she was talking about the hare's corner that used to be on farms. And even having that in your garden, having an area in your garden that you won't mow at all at any stage and letting it grow a little bit wild and letting that foster the biodiversity in the area. One of the big things I've learnt since I started on this journey is the damage that these chemical sprays can do. And we're used to using these sprays now in the gardens. And the difference is, as Anna Brown pointed out last week, we don't have ladybirds like we used to have in this country. And that is all down to the kind of stuff that we're spraying around the garden. So that's a very clear example of insects that can't survive because of these chemicals. So that's a massive thing, is to cut back on those sprays and the pesticides and those kind of things in the garden. Now, Ours to Protect will return again on June 15th with the first of next month's feature with myself, Traco Brainon, on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Ours to Protect is funded by Comisiú na mBian with the television licence fee and is a partnership between Ireland's Classic Hits Radio and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.